Today we follow Jesus to Jerusalem after the radical turning point of being on the mountaintop last week in the rural hills of Jerusalem. Last week in verse 51 we read that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And in the next 6 weeks that lead us to Easter, we will watch and see Jesus' last 6 months of ministry. And we'll watch and hear that through the eyes and ears of the gospel writer Luke. And we'll hear Jesus teaching in parables, proclaiming this radical message of the kingdom or dream of God that was coming to earth as it was in heaven. This message was to all nations, everyone, men, women, children, the racially different, rich, poor. And then Jesus comes to us today through his living word. And I thought, we too are everyone. And we need to remember where we might have fit in the midst of that crowd of first century hearers. When you think about what class or status you might have fit in, where do you think you fit? When I look around the room, I think we would have probably been in the socially upper levels. And we probably would have been kind of religious people, is my hunch. So just hang on to that thought. One other thing to note is Jesus teaches in parables. And I've said this before, but it's important to repeat it, that parables are not fairy tales. Parables are not Aesop's fables, not these cute little stories with these nice little moralistic endings at the end that tell us to be better citizens. In the Greek, phrasing parabole means to lay alongside. And that's what Jesus did with these stories. He laid them alongside the lives of the hearers and then trusted that the Spirit of God would bring something up. And so it's the same for us. Maybe we've heard the story of the Good Samaritan or the person who fell among thieves 10 or 20 times in our lives. But the beauty and the hope of this living word is that as this Jesus story is laid alongside our lives, even today, God's Spirit might bring anew something to life for us as we enter into the season of Lent. Today's story begins with a question. Verse 25, the lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And when I hear this question, I hear it with a tone of kind of self-assured confidence. This is like the Ivy League educated lawyer who says, with all due respect, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers the question with a question. He looks at the lawyer, and maybe you can imagine Jesus' face. I would imagine it's gracious, maybe a little mischievous, a bit playful. And Jesus says, what is written in the law? What do you read there? The lawyer answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus affirms him. You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. The lawyer, we read, wants to justify himself. I imagine he kind of wants to hem in the parameters. That's what experts in the law do. They kind of hem things in and make things right. He asks the question, and who is my neighbor? And this time, Jesus doesn't answer the question with a question. Instead, he paraboles. He lays alongside this story, alongside the life of the lawyer. I'm going to reread a portion from the Message translation. There once was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. a Samaritan traveling the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I will pay you on my way back." Imagine where you live as you dwell in the world of this parable. As this story is laid alongside our lives this morning, how might you respond? One of the commentators that I read this week suggested that this lawyer would have been able to fathom no other role than the role of the half-dead man. Isn't that interesting? That this lawyer would have been lightning quick to define who he was not. "I am not a religious worshiper people kind of profession. So I'm not the priest, I'm not the Levite, and there's no way I would be the Samaritan in this story, because if I'm a Jew and these are Samaritans, our history is that we are the worst enemies of each other." And so that was new revelation to me, because I've often felt like the teaching or preaching takeaway from this story was, well, go out there and be a Samaritan and try harder, Christian. I don't know if that's been your understanding of this story. And so I've chided myself and said, yeah, I need to be a better Samaritan or a good Samaritan. That's what I'll do. The next time I stumble across a half-dead person, I'm going to lend a helping hand. And I'm going to put him up in the Radisson, $175 a night. I can give him my Visa card. And if it takes 2 or 3 or 4 more nights, I'm going to say, yeah, no problem. Put it on my tab. And I'd never do that. It's never happened. And I don't want to be a softy and say, yeah, well, we're all off the hook. But maybe we've lived into this story as the wrong character. So might I suggest we humble ourselves and take the low route through this story. And the low route is through the world of this left-for-dead man. And so maybe it's providential as we enter the season of Lent that we come in through this low route. Because on Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, the minister or priest puts a paste of oil and ash on our forehead and says, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That kind of sounds like the low route to me to enter into Lent. So imagining yourself as the left for dead man, I want to reread one more portion of the scripture and tweak it a bit. A Samaritan traveling along the road came upon you, the half-dead man or woman. When he saw your condition, his heart went out to you. He gave you first aid, disinfecting and bandaging your wounds. Then he lifted you onto his donkey, led you to an inn, and made you comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of Rick, of Doreen, of Johan, of Sandy, of Jake. Take good care. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I will pay you on my way back." And at the same time, I want you to imagine the furthest outsider in your life. Try to imagine that person. Maybe it's your most foreboding enemy. Maybe it's that busker that you see when you come up the escalator at Bay Enterprise Station every morning. Maybe it's that school acquaintance or that colleague or that family person that's become really distant. Or maybe it's that church member or that member of another religion that you've come up with lots of reasons of why you detest them and why you would never need to interact with them ever, ever again in your life. It made me think of that theological statement from that great singer, Taylor Swift. We will never, ever, ever get back together. So could you imagine what it would feel like if this person was the one who looked at you with compassion? This person's heart went out to you. This person became the one to provide the saving grace, the disinfectant, the band-aids, the funds that you might receive mercy. When you imagine that, does it make you glad or does it make you squirm? And I think that's what Jesus was doing when he laid this story alongside the life of the hearers. In the midst of this parable that then starts to poke and prod us, bringing things to life that we maybe don't want to be brought to life, Jesus asks, which of these three do you think turned out to be a neighbor to the one who was left half dead? And we don't have to answer because the story answers for us. The lawyer says, the one who treated him with mercy. And it's interesting to note that the lawyer didn't say the Samaritan, because he probably couldn't even utter that word. Instead, he keeps it really generic. The one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus says, go and do the same. And so maybe looking at this parable from the perspective of the half-dead man really blows our mind and kind of shakes us up. And I hope it does. Because then we live out of this parable, becoming this people of God who don't just try to live our Christian life by trying harder, by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, because we're North American Christians. Gosh darn it. We can do this. Instead, we're these left for dead, broken, busted people. And God is going to use the most outlandish ways and the most unexpected others to remind us of his never-ending ability to use the most marginalized, insignificant losers to get his work done, his restoration done, his will here on earth done as it is in heaven. And so that should be good news for us, because then we get gobsmacked by grace and we become those people that don't try to serve Jesus or follow Jesus from these places of prosperity and spiritual pride, but we serve from these places of weakness. And the mercy that we share with our neighbor, our school acquaintance, our family member, the next stranger we meet, our most sinister enemy, the mercy that we share with them is poured out, spoken forth, emailed out from a place of gratitude, a place of humility, a place of lowness. What must we do to inherit eternal life now and forevermore? Love God, love neighbor, show mercy. And we wonder, could it be that simple? To offer love and mercy from places of weakness and gratitude versus places of strength and power. In this season of Lent, May these parables stir things up and bring things to life in us that maybe surprise us, but also push us to live out these grace-filled ways, to show mercy, to love neighbor, to do love. And in a closing minute of silence, I want you to maybe use those phrases to help shape your response to what this parable might be stirring up. Show mercy. Be neighbor. Do love. Show mercy. Be neighbor. Do love. Let's sit with these phrases and this parable for just a moment in prayer and reflection. Well, Lord Jesus, show us the way to life that comes from showing mercy, that comes from being neighbor, that comes from doing love. Thank you that we can be moved by the promise, your promise, that we love because you have first loved us.